IO-Link Wireless has a packet error rate of 10 to the minus 9, so it's literally a million times more reliable, more robust than those other wireless networks.
Welcome to the McNaughton McKay Podcast, your electrical connection. Each episode, we meet with an industry expert to tackle real issues in manufacturing. Join your host, Austin Davidson, to get the latest scoop on automation products and solutions.
Hey there, and welcome back to the McNaughton McKay Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to enable smarter and more adaptive manufacturing. And to help me walk through this, I'm joined by the president of Cortego Inc. He has a lifelong career in manufacturing with various roles over his 35-year tenure at Rockwell Automation. Today joining me is Reed Shook. Reed, how's it going?
Hey, things are great, Austin. How are you?
I'm doing great. So today's topic, enabling smarter, more adaptive manufacturing. Now, Reed, I'm going to toss the ball to you. What exactly does that mean? What are we trying to get to the bottom of today?
Yeah, bottom line, Austin, is that the end customer is looking for more variability, more types of products. That variation drives more complexity, flexibility requirements out of the equipment that's actually producing those products. And to develop machines and deliver that type of variation and flexibility can sometimes limit the capacity or throughput of the machine. And what we're trying to do is, as much as possible, prevent that from happening.
Well, if you got to change things, I mean, we'll just change over, right? That's never a pain, is it?
Well, the key with a changeover is just the time it takes to do that changeover. And that's where Cortego is working with customers to eliminate or at the very least vastly reduce that changeover time.
Sure. And obviously, I think everybody is familiar with changeovers and the pains they can be, not only time, but you have to make sure that your template or the layout for, say, product B is correct every time you switch back over to the setup for product B. So obviously, there's a lot of different things that are moving around on the shop floor or the machine floor, and you got to make sure everything is in place. That leaves a lot of room for human error. So I'm assuming that's something else that we're trying to eliminate.
Yeah, exactly. There's manual changeover requires manual intervention. Automatic changeover or changeover on the fly can be programmed into your system and basically eliminate that time required for the manual changeover.
Well, I know from my standpoint, one thing that I'm very familiar with that helps alleviate some of these changeover issues is if you deploy stuff like sensors over IO-Link, we have some communications back and forth. You can store all those values for, say, template A or template B into your PLC, and then your changeover happens essentially automatically. Is that something, I'm assuming Cortego, with you guys kind of playing that realm as well, is that what you guys tend to focus on?
Yeah, that's a great lead in, Austin, in that IO-Link is a key foundation for automation today. And what Cortego has done is worked with the IO-Link Consortium to develop IO-Link Wireless, which is a wireless capability for IO-Link sensors and actuators.
Okay. So for those who are unfamiliar with IO-Link, it is an industrial protocol that allows you to get a lot more information out of your sensors and other machines that are enabled to communicate via IO-Link. And what that does is rather than give you just an on-off signal, you can get diagnostics and health of, say, the sensor. So obviously you were speaking to IO-Link Wireless, and I know that's something that Cortego has put a lot of time and energy into. Why IO-Link Wireless? From my standpoint, IO-Link is something that I think everybody should be using, but I would be remiss if I said that everybody is. So you guys are already taking a step past that. Why focus on the wireless so much? What pain points are you seeing from wired solutions?
Yeah, well, Austin, you give a lot of good background on the reasons why IO-Link makes sense. And the IO-Link standard's been around for many years, and many customers are already using that. IO-Link Wireless is basically an extension of that standard. So it is a universal standard, but the difference is it's a wireless protocol that's been designed for factory automation, for mission critical applications on the shop floor. So that's the biggest difference between IO-Link wireless and maybe other wireless solutions that might be out there today.
Okay, so I'm assuming when you say other wireless, we have there's Bluetooth, there's Wi-Fi, there's Z or whatever else you can use for like your at-home automation. Why IO-Link wireless over some of these others?
Yeah, well, again, it's a wireless standard that's been designed for factory automation, for the plant floor. And not to get too technical, but those wireless technologies, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Zigbee, they have a packet error rate of 10 to the minus 3, which isn't bad. 999 times out of 1,000, your transmission gets through. IO-Link wireless has a packet error rate of 10 to the minus 9. So it's literally a million times more reliable, more robust than those other wireless networks.
Very interesting. Yes, I know, obviously, reliability and uptime are all the keywords that we always hear when it comes to manufacturing. So obviously, those are very important. So I'm assuming, packet rates, everything getting through communication-wise, that's very important. Is there anything else in terms of just the network, without getting too into the weeds, that you want to call out about IO-Link wireless, whether against some of the other options or just kind of more general?
So Austin, with IO-Link wireless, we actually have a deterministic network. So the latency is 5 milliseconds, and that's 5 milliseconds as long as you stay within that 20-meter range. And you can also scale up many devices within that range, up to 120 devices in that particular space. So with IO-Link wireless, you have three transmissions of 1.6 milliseconds in that 5 millisecond window, which gives you three transmissions on three different frequencies. And what that does for you is just, again, increases that reliability that you're looking for in a industrial wireless platform.
Certainly, because I imagine that's probably the first thing that comes to anybody's mind with wireless. I mean, for me, I'm a gamer, so if I can have my computer plugged straight into the router, I would prefer that, because sometimes, the wireless drops out and that's always a pain in the butt. So obviously I think on the industrial level, not only being able to have a deterministic network that functions fast enough, but also being able to do all that while not affecting the quality of your transmission. That's awesome. So obviously this is the next step past, we'll say, wired IO-Link. Again, if you're not using IO-Link, everybody should be using IO-Link. It's the only way you can do preventative maintenance with your sensors. So obviously, the wireless portion of it is something you guys have focused on a lot past just the standard IO-Link protocol. What kind of applications or what kind of issues did you see or foresee customers running into that really pushed you guys into the wireless space?
Yeah, so Austin, we've started really with looking at applications where wires get in the way.
Sure.
For example, transport tracks. There's these new linear track systems, sometimes called independent cart track systems, where putting automation on the mover can provide some real benefit. Back to the idea of changeovers and having sensors and actuators on the mover, you can now do that with IO-Link wireless. You weren't able to even do that before. Another application would be end-of-arm tooling for robotics, where, again, with changeover, if you can get rid of the wires communicating to those end-of-arm tools, that's a game changer as well.
Sure.
Rotary tables, where you've got a slip ring for power, but you want to put automation on the rotary table, either for a filling or assembly application, would be another good example where a slip ring works great for power, but it doesn't work well for communication. So these are all examples where wireless capability of IO-Link wireless comes into play.
Certainly. I can see situations where, we'll say, stationary sensors could benefit from this just from a wiring deployment being a pain in the rear. But it sounds like a big focus is these moving parts that we still want to maintain communications with. And especially, I'm assuming, with like the cart systems, to me, that screams motion. I'm not a motion expert, but I'm assuming you want deterministic information back and forth between those carts as well.
Yeah, exactly. So wherever you need mission critical, real-time control, and wires are a problem, that's a good application for IO-Link Wireless. But to your point, you know, we have customers now saying, well, I have applications where I just don't want to run wires, and IO-Link Wireless comes into play there. So it could even be for monitoring or other applications where just the cost or time to deploy the cable tray and the wire is a problem.
Sure. And I always love, I'm a sucker for analogies or examples outside of the industry. And I think everyone's home is usually a good example for a kind of more simple version of what we see on the plant floor. And I would imagine most people have Wi-Fi in their house. I know Wi-Fi is not the same protocol, but my point is I think most people, given the option to have wireless communications that are robust enough, would prefer that over having to deploy cabling or wiring all over the place. So I can totally understand that too. So that about rounds out the questions that I had for you. Is there anything else about the Qortigo offering or wireless communications on the plant floor that you would like to make sure that we don't miss?
Well, Austin, the only thing I'll say there is in addition to offering the IO-Link Wireless enabling technology, Qortigo has an expanded offering that gets into edge control, machine optimization, pulling that data in and actually doing something with it. So we would love to work with McNaught McKay customers on applications that not only help them get rid of the wires and solve a application in that regard, but also take it a step further and do something with that information that may help them optimize their application.
Data is not useful unless you use it in a useful manner, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
So that's about all we have. If you have any questions about today's episode or any previous episodes, please feel free to reach out to your local McNaught & McKay account manager, or you can shoot us an email at podcast@mc-mc.com. Reed, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Austin. Much appreciated.